Welcome to Crime Corner, where we examine all things crime, whether it be on the page, on the screen, on the street, or in the courtroom. I'm Matt Coyle, author of the Rick Cahill Crime Series, and I'll be host for as long as it takes. My guest tonight, Julie Slavinsky, is the director of events for Warwick's Bookstore in La Jolla. She has been in the book business for 16 years and has been Warwick's director for 11 of those. I'm sorry, I've been at Warwick's for 11 of those and 10 of them as the director of events. She was born and raised in Los Angeles, has a Bachelor of Arts degree from San Diego State, where I went to for a year, and has called San Diego home since 1979. Her passion is reading and connecting readers and authors. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Matt. I hope I'm not going to be interrogated too hard tonight.
Well, actually maybe, because when you I was trying to get a bio for you, and you go, I have to do that? So I went on LinkedIn and got what I could. And so the bio, and you gave me a bio, you came through. But the bio you gave me, it said you have a Bachelor of Arts degree from San Diego State. But on LinkedIn, it said you have a Bachelor's of Art in Industrial Technology. And I wanted to know what that was.
Oh, God, I hope my husband's not listening to this. He's teased me about that degree for my entire life. I need to go in on LinkedIn and change that, obviously. I told you I hadn't looked at LinkedIn for, now it's probably more like 20 years, for God's sakes.
Sounds very impressive.
Let's put it this way, my first job out of college was for an electronics company. Mm-hmm. So, I was a whole different person back in those days. So I studied electronics was the emphasis.
Wow.
They tease me at the store and call me Radio Shack. So.
Well, that puts a lot of pressure on you too when something goes wrong. My first job out of college was washing dishes with my English degree, which is pretty much what they're worth. So obviously Warwick's to pretty much any author, at least in Southern California, is a very iconic bookstore. But about telling our listeners a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, Warwick's is a fourth generation family-owned independent bookstore. So while we're not the oldest bookstore in the country, we're the oldest continuously family-owned bookstore. So Nancy Warwick's great-great-grandfather started this bookstore in 1896 in Minnesota and moved to La Jolla in the 30s. And we've actually been in the building that we're at right now since the 50s. And, events have been a big part of Warwick's, probably going back to, 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, we've had iconic people come through that store. And it's quite a legacy here in San Diego now.
Absolutely. So before we get to the event stuff, obviously a very difficult time for anybody in retail, anybody in any kind of business. But you guys seem to be at least close to thriving every time I go in there. How are things going?
It's going good. It's one of the things when we went to the major shutdown that happened back in March and we stayed closed until the governor gave retail the chance to open. And so, and I think that was somewhere in the end of May maybe. And so Nancy made the decision to open the doors to the public, obviously with, safety protocols in place, masks, social distancing, all of that. Because for anybody that's been to the store, one of the things that makes Warwick's a little bit unique is we don't cross merchandise. So, and you notice that as soon as you come in the store. Half of the store is strictly books. And the other side is, gifts, jewelry, fine pens, office supplies. It's a thriving side of the store as well. You can't really sell that online. So it's got a whole different marketing to it. So she made the decision to open the doors and do that. And I think it was a really good decision because I think that the community in La Jolla especially was looking for some sort of normalcy,
Yeah.
And I think that there was a comfort in being able to come to Warwick's.
I will say that you definitely adhere to the COVID guidelines because about a month ago, I was down there and I had to wait outside because there were too many people in the store. And I asked the woman holding me out, I said, "Don't you know who I am?" And she said, "No." So that was it.
Sorry about that, Matt.
she said no, and billions of others agreed. So, COVID aside, I mean, like you mentioned, Warwick's has been, it's an independent bookstore. It's been in business for over 100 years, or also close to 100 years. How have you managed to do that? How has it managed to succeed against the Big A and chains, what are left of them?
Well, I think that the, you know, and there's probably others that can speak more succinctly to that than I can, but I think that a lot of it has to do with our position in the community and the, you know, being a very iconic La Jolla store, and the support that we get from our customers, I think, is in the village is, is, you know, there's nothing to say to that except for our customers are what keep us there. And what we provide is that, you know, personal service, you know, giving good recommendations, you know, as far as on the book side, just having that, that personal connection in the community. But then, you know, from the business side of it, for who we are to the greater San Diego area is the events that we have, you know, and
Absolutely.
The people that we lure to San Diego, there's some pretty big names that we've hosted over the years. So I think that there's, you know, a combination of that local community, but also in a broader sense of who we bring to the store.
I will say luring, too, when you had Lou Burney in a couple years ago and Don Winslow was interviewing him, there were some authors that I know from L.A. who made the drive down to L.A. because I guess Lou wasn't doing anybody in L.A. So there you go. You're known certainly throughout Southern California and greater, even, you know, throughout the states.
Right.
We will get down to your job finally. So this may be a stupid question, but what are your responsibilities as director of events?
So my main responsibility is to bring authors to San Diego, connect them with their fans. So that's first and foremost what, you know, the job is. Now, that covers so many levels of what that actually is in communicating with publishers and authors. And my actual interface directly with authors is very limited. I mean, that's probably the least amount that I interface with. I interface mainly with publishers and publicity. And that is, and so a lot of people think that, oh, I have all of this communication with authors, and I really don't. Sometimes at events, I'll be with an author for the 5 minutes before they go on stage while they're doing the signing line, and off they go. And I'll have had no contact with them prior to that. So that's mainly, you know, so coordinating that and making sure that a Warwick's has a vibrant author program is my main responsibility.
There's also, do you delegate the things in the press, things online? Because, you know, San Diego Union Tribune, you guys are in there every week with upcoming events and your bestsellers and everything.
Right. The bestseller list, Adrian, our buyer, coordinates with the UT on getting our bestseller list out to them. And we do, I'm the director of events. Amanda is our marketing coordinator, and her and I are really the team of the events team. So, the center of the events team. So while I book the events, she does all of the press releases and does all of the online marketing. You know, she does all of that with all of the collateral that we get directly from the publishers. So we send to the UT every week what our upcoming events are. And so they're very generous with their, and we, you know, back in the day when we were actually doing live events pre-COVID, we did a lot of advertising with the UT, but since it's just like the revenue stream from events is basically shriveled up since COVID. So hard for us to spend money on advertising right now.
So, I was going to ask you about that. But so, say, pre-COVID, on a ballpark, how many events do you guys think you did a year? How many events do you think you did a year?
Oh, we do 3 to 5 events a week. So that, what's that, 150-ish, of, you know, 100 to 150 events a year. Sometimes more, sometimes less.
Yeah.
And we're kind of in the same, actually, since COVID, we're kind of in the same thing. We do virtual events almost, you know, Monday through Thursday, we're doing virtual events.
Right. But you did touch on the point that, I've sort of noticed myself is that I guess you just don't sell as many books.
No.
Virtually, yeah. Because there's not that personal communication, not there. They can't easily reach out and grab the book. They can't do their point where they walk up and talk to the author when he scribbles on the book.
That connection that you have, it's really interesting because the virtual space in a very odd way is very intimate. There's an intimacy to it that is really kind of, I found it really interesting, but there's nothing like being in the room with an author and having that personal connection. And there is, you know, live events, no matter whether it's an author event or a music event or whatever it is, there's something that's special about that. And I think that, revenue is definitely not the same, not even close.
And for readers, if they're there for the event, they're readers, and there's nothing like being in a bookstore. I mean, it's hard to walk out of a bookstore without buying a book or two or three.
And that's the thing is that there's different kinds of events. There's the kind of events that are like the pop culture, you know, celebrity kind of events. Well, those really aren't necessarily your readers. You know what I mean? Those are people that want to come meet that celebrity. But for our bread and butter type of events that we have, you know, in the store, those are readers that are coming. And we had regulars that came, maybe not to every, but I was always surprised at some of our loyal customers that would come to, you know, depending on what the lineup was, I'd see them two or three times a week at the store. A dedication, and that's because there's just something about, you know, it's people who like to go to plays or people who like to go, you know, there's an entertainment factor of coming and hearing an author speak.
And is that the competitive advantage if you have, you know, the one competitive advantage you have over online is that, you know, you're doing a service for the community. And I think that I know it is for me that I'm going to, when I buy mystery, I'm going to go to you guys or I'm going to go to Mysterious Galaxy. I'm going to, even though I might pay a little bit more.
I mean, that's, you know, and we recognize the fact that it's like, if it's strictly a dollar matter that you've got, yeah, there's cheaper places to find books. There's no question about that. But the experience of coming into a bookstore, talking to a bookseller, your discovery of a book is not nearly the same experience online as it is inside a bookstore. The browsing and what gets recommended to you and the algorithms are just, you know, it's just not the same. And once you connect with somebody at a bookstore that has like taste in you, what you like, that's a great experience. And I have customers, I haven't been on the floor for as far as regularly since I first started at Warwick's, but I still have customers that come in and ask for me because we made a connection and they like what I read and they're like, Julie, what should I read next? You know?
Right.
So, you know, and that is what we bring. And, you know, we, you know, while we are a community hub, we're not subsidized by any, you know, we're not a library that's subsidized by the government. So, you know, our subsidy is our customers. And so our customer relationship is what we rely on.
And you have a great staff there too, really good staff.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, there are costs associated to putting on a signing because yours are always done except for the local author Sunday where the author just sits in the middle of the floor, but it's always after hours. You're having to pay employees. So there has to be, I'm guessing, some sort of criteria for you to choose. And I'm talking, you know, my listeners are basically mid-listers. There has to be some sort of criteria you look at, like, well, does it make sense for this to bring this particular person in?
Right. And that's, you know, it's, here's the thing, and what I'm talking about is strictly the way that Warwick's does it. I can't, you know, every independent bookstore is different, and they all have their own way of doing things. But, you know, and there's really not one way that author gets booked into the store. And that's it's kind of, and I know that's a frustrating answer to give to people who are like, oh, how do I get into a bookstore for an event? But there's so many different avenues and different things that go into it. There's, you know, timing's a huge one. But, you know, yeah, it's, you know, we're a business. We have to, you know, if I'm doing, let's say, 3 to 5 events a week, there's way more books than that are published. in that time period. So I have to be selective on, you know, who do I think is going to come to the store? Are these people going to buy books? How many other events locally is that author having? So there's a lot of things that go into, you know, some authors think that, oh, if I have a ton of events, that's more business. And it's like, well, there's that. But from the store perspective, it's like that means that there's less of a buying chance for the store, for people to have purchased the book from that particular store. So, yeah, I take all of that into consideration, you know. And if you're talking about, you know, one of the things, Matt, you've been a customer of Warwick's for how many years? You know,
50.
Right. So you're a truly active customer. You know, there's lots of authors that really aren't our customer, you know. And so there's that plays a factor into it.
Yeah.
You know, how active are you at supporting us as a business? Is a huge thing. But it really comes down to, it's like, okay, so you want to have an event here. That's fantastic. How many people do you think are going to come? Okay, you think you've got 20 or 30 people that'll come to the store. Of those, how many think are going to buy a book? 10? And so is 10 books enough for me to do? Because when we were doing advertising, we paid for the advertising in the Union Tribune. It's staffing we pay after hours. It's a marketing person that's marketing it. And keep in mind, too, the store is real estate. So, and we're not, while we're a pretty decent-sized store, we're not a huge store. Every inch of that store is worth money, you know. And so I have to make a decision to promote this particular book over another book while it sits in the window and does that, you know. So there's all those factors that go into it.
I'll say that. As a local author, when my first book came out, Yesterday's Echo, I had to pay my dues, and I did the local author event on a Sunday, and I made sure that people came, and I made sure. And I think it's for a local San Diego author, when your first book comes out, you're probably going to have a lot of people want to buy that book. So if you do a local event, you know, and you sell a lot of books at that local book author Sunday deal, you're probably going to be able to get on, you know, a nighttime gig the next year.
Right.
You know, if you're showing the numbers.
Correct. And that's the thing, is that it really does come down to that. And it comes down to, you know, and it's a relationship thing too with people who live locally, you know, and you and I think we have a great relationship, but it's like, yeah, Matt, we're doing it, you know, and some years are going to be better than others. And sometimes it's going to be, you know, it's not strictly about the dollars, but that's a huge factor to it. You know, relationships are super important too.
Yeah, I think that's important and obviously if you're talking about a local store, it's easier to make those relationships, but it has to, you have to make them with other stores you go to, you're planning on doing a tour or two, and you know, it helps to reach out and build a relationship.
It does, and the thing too to keep in mind is that it's, you know, for example, if you were going to try and do an event, like let's say you're going to Colorado or you're going to drive through, you know, and it's like you want to set up an event there. If you can tell that store, hey, I'm going to be coming through, you know, and here's the other thing, timing is a huge thing, and the business is such that we usually book things right around publication date. So because there are so many things that are being published out there that we have to kind of have that, you're talking about a criteria, that's sort of one that we're like right near that pub date. So if you're out there, you know, trying to book another store and you're doing it, if you tell that events person, hey, I'm coming in, I've got friends from high school that are going to come, you know, I've got some local people that'll spread the word for me, blah, blah, blah. All of that helps your case as far as being able to get into the store. Because I have people that do that all the time because San Diego is a huge destination for vacationing. So I have a lot of authors that maybe don't have the publisher publicity working for them. And so they'll reach out directly. And, you know, sometimes I can fit them in the schedule, sometimes I can't. It just really depends.
So what would be a kind of a baseline? You got your launch coming up. You want to make San Diego your destination, one of your destinations. You want to make Warwick's the destination in San Diego. How soon in advance should someone contact you or someone else at Warwick's? You know, they know when their book's going to launch. When should they call you?
Oh, at least three to six months in advance.
3 to 6, yeah.
Yeah, 3 to 6. If you're doing it, you know, sometimes I book things shorter than that, but minimally it's a 3-month window.
Right.
You know, because I'm booking things out right now for, you know, April, May, June is where I'm working right now. It's a little different in the virtual world. We can do things a little bit quicker, but, But for right now, you know, it's really that 2 months is pretty much the bare minimum. I've squeezed some things in shorter than that. If it's like, you know, if Hillary Clinton wants to come,
yeah,
we squeeze that in. We figure out how to do that in 10 days, which is, I think,
right,
the amount of notice that we had.
Well, my next is November 30th. So mark me down, please.
Okay, we got you. We got you.
So when you mentioned Hillary Clinton, it made me think of some of the off location events you do where you have to rent out a huge arena or something like that. How does that work? What's the break even on that? Because I assume that when you're doing those events that you got to pay some upfront money.
Well, that's where community relationships come into play. And so there are times where we've had to rent a venue, and they're not cheap. The big venues are not cheap. And so that's where, you know, sometimes people get frustrated that we have to ticket events, but it's like, you know, we're not, like I said earlier, we're not being subsidized by anybody. So we have to cover costs. And you have a book that is $25 and you have a venue that seats 200 people and they charge you $3,000 for that venue. You're not going to make it, you know, it's a tough one.
Right.
So I've created and fostered some wonderful relationships in the San Diego area. And there's a kind of a quid pro quo that goes along with it, where it's like the venue wants to host and have their name associated with that author. So they come on as a, quote, partner. So it's kind of like having a sponsorship sort of thing. And so they come on as the partner, and we get to use the venue. And so that's how we've been able to secure some of those locations, which is fantastic. And they've gotten the opportunity to, you know, host some, you know, big names that they may not have had the opportunity to do. Sonia Sotomayor is one of the key ones, and that's what actually started our relationship down at USD, you know. And I think when we first brought that possibility to them, I think they looked at us and said, you know, here we're this little bookstore in San Diego, and you're bringing us a sitting justice.
Right.
It's like, yes, we are.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just to help you guys out with not having to do a ticketed event, I have capped my readership at a certain level, so you don't have to worry about that when I do events.
You just like after that 100 person, it's it. You're done.
Yeah, I try to make it easy. Okay, so
we can fit them in the store.
Right. Although I've been close to busting the store out.
You have great events at the store, and that's the thing that makes it fun. I mean, when we have events like yours, that there's such a great community that supports you, those are some of the most fun events to have, because it's people who are excited to be there and they're excited to support you.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some really fun events.
San Diego has been unbelievably good to me, from the bookstores, the readers, to the San Diego Union Tribune. I'm very fortunate that way.
Oh, you're a good guy, Matt. That's the other thing that I think that people have to realize, too, is that it is about relationships, and it is about people like to work with good people. You know what I mean? They like to work with nice people. And so if you come at us with this expectation and this entitlement kind of thing, we kind of get a little prickly, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes people – and I think sometimes – And I know this is very frustrating. And one of the things that I want to say out to anybody who's listening to this, it's a huge accomplishment writing any book. I mean, you've written quite a few. Just to write one is gigantic. Mm-hmm. And not everybody can do that. And so we recognize that that's a huge accomplishment. But there comes a thing, too, though, that unfortunately we don't have the time or capacity to host every single person that has written a book. And so we do our best to, and that's why we do the San Diego Authors thing, the Weekends with Locals, is because we recognize that there needs to be a place for people that we can't fit into the normal schedule.
Right. That is a great event. That really opens things up too. That really does.
It helps people to, you know, because here's the thing, it's like, and one of the things that I think people have to realize is that there are different levels of, you know, all of this, it's business, you know, It just comes down to it's a business.
And it's not a big time suck for the attendees, because you just walk, you see the author, you buy a book, he signs it, and you go on your way.
Right. And you can talk for as long, you can talk for as long or as little as you
All
want
right.
with that person. And so I think it's a very good, it's a great entry into, and here's the thing too, and I know you've talked to enough authors, everybody kind of pays their dues in that kind of role. You know what I mean? The Robert Craze, I talked to John Grisham over the summer, and, he remembers the day when he would sit in a bookstore and four people would walk up to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's a little bit of not paying dues, but sort of that, there is a little bit of that.
Yeah. You did segue into one of the questions I wanted to ask, which is, what are some of the mistakes writers make in, maybe you said, don't be a jerk, which is, it really is so important. Maybe after you've made your bones and you can afford to piss people off. But when you're trying to gain readership and bookstores to support you, God, put on the fake, be genuine. You can put it on. I mean, I'm not a very friendly, nice guy, but I can put it on for an hour or so, a couple hours.
Right. Right.
And it's genuine.
Well,
it's genuine at the time.
If you want to get into a bookstore, the key thing is be nice to the booksellers. These are minimum wage people that are standing on their feet 8 hours a day, talking books. It's like, so if you want to, if you want a bookseller to promote your book, be nice to the booksellers. That's just 101. You know what I mean? And keeping that first and foremost in mind. And when you're at a book event, and if you've booked an event at a store and there aren't very many people who've come, the bookstore is just as nervous as you are about who's going to attend. You know what I mean? And then who's going to show up. And they've put in, they've promoted it. They've done everything they can. And they're feeling just as bad as anybody that, oh, God, sorry, nobody came. But building relationships with booksellers is huge. When you asked about, what I do and how I do it, like I said earlier, I really don't deal with authors that often. And so it's if you
nice
don't
people.
Have, they're very nice. But I deal with mainly publicists and publicity, and I'm not saying to go out and hire a private publicist, because that's not actually that's not where your money is best spent. If your publisher doesn't have a publicity team, you're probably better off doing it yourself versus hiring a private publicist. Personally, that's just my opinion.
I agree for book events for sure. And, but play by the rules. If the events coordinator doesn't generally want to talk to authors, then you don't talk to them. But if they do, you build a nice relationship.
Right.
It's going to help you over the years. It's going to help you.
It does.
You
and it's, because there's so many different facets to this business. There's not one way of getting an agent. There's not one way of selling your book. There's not one way of, booking an event. So there's so many different, and a lot of it, truthfully, Matt, comes down to timing. There's some times where it's like I'll get, an email will pop in and I'll be like, oh, I got nothing going on that month. This one sounds good. Let's take a chance and do it. Some of it's just that,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You go.
No, about booksellers. If the event is not well attended, you feel badly. The author feels badly. I always feel that it's at least my 50% responsibility, and I actually think more of my responsibility to get readers into the bookstore. It doesn't matter what state we're in. We're all on Facebook. We can all find ways to penetrate certain geographical areas. I really feel responsible for getting. And I when there's not a good crowd, I apologize. But here's something else. Here's something else. Go ahead. I cut you off.
It's true, though. No, go with your thought, though. But that is true.
Well, here's the thing that I've noticed, and I don't know how it, I know how I do at Warwick's, but I go to like Poison Pen every year, of course not this year, and Murder by the Book in Houston, and I don't have many people there. Like, I have a friend in Houston that'll show up with her friends, and I'm usually with a couple other authors at Poison Pen, but they sell my, like, we did with 4 or 5 books that night, or maybe less, but they'll sell my books throughout the year.
Correct.
And I think that's part of the relationship thing where, you know, if you can write a good book, and if you go to the events and show that, you know, you're supporting the bookstore and you have a fan in the bookstore, I think it's the benefit of doing events is I think it carries
it's
out
huge.
Throughout the year. Yeah,
it absolutely carries out throughout the year. There's no question about that. And that is the residual effect of having an event. It's not all just about, yes, there's some that it's about the sales that have happened that night. But
right. You
want that book to have legs. And, you know, it comes down to it's got to be a good book. It's got to be compelling enough for, you know, people to want to read it and then read the next one. So that's, you know, that's a give or take. And that's a personal, you know, decision on the customer's part. But that's what events are for. Events are for that, you know, relationship with the bookstore, with the booksellers. You know, there's probably a bookseller at Poison Pen that recommends your books to people, you know, that you don't even know that it's happening. You know, and that is there again is what we have over just online shopping, in that you build that relationship.